Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Castlevania Podcast, brought to you by Not Another Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Godoy, and joining me finally this week is Jonathan Keane. How you doing, buddy?
Hey mate, always good to hear you. How you been?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. So yeah, we're here to talk about episode 2 of Castlevania, the TV series on Netflix. Episode 2 is called Necropolis, and we were meant to do this last week, but someone was drunk in a bar like Trevor Belmont.
Well, that's quite appropriate for the episode we're going to talk about now, to be honest with you, isn't it?
So what happened to you, John? Where were you? What's happened?
Well, I can't disclose where I was because I can't remember.
Yeah.
I didn't start any fights, though, like Trevor. So, you know, I'm all good. No, I just had, went out after work with a few workmates, mate, and had a few too many, and time slips you by. The next thing you know, you're in a bar you don't want to be with people you don't want to talk to. So,
yeah. Not to worry, not to worry. Because, I mean, we're going to do episode 2 now. It's worth the wait because I've been dying to talk to you about it. I was going to do the episode 2 by myself, but I just thought, you know what? I needed to get your opinion on it because I've watched it twice now. The first time, John, I've got to be honest with you, I didn't like it. The second time, I liked it more. But before we go into the episode, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've been up to and what you've been playing before we start talking about episode 2 of Castlevania's TV series?
Well, just work stuff really, boring shit, but I did go to the London Gaming Market today and met some fellow gamers, Ali the Retro Hunter, and Darren, My Live Games and all that. I've got a couple of purchases myself, some couple of games I've had my eye on for a while. The more I go down there, the better organised it's getting. They've got a lot more variety now in the trade, the tradesmen there. Yeah. I've been there a couple of times before, and I don't know, it looked a little bit sparse, some of the games. Not a lot of variety in the games and stuff, but they've got like board games there now, a lot of art, you know, a load of stuff down there now. It's really worth going down there. And this time, they actually put the air conditioning on there as well.
Which is good, because we've discussed previously on episodes of the RGDS podcast that as great as these events are, John, and they get very, very crowded, but some of the people that go there do not know the meaning of the word bath, or, you know,
or just water in general.
Water, like, yeah.
The general concept of putting water on the skin to cleanse it, you know. But no, it was good. I was really, like, it's really well done, you know. I did get down there when the doors open and went down there with Shauna about 1 o'clock. I got Wonder Boy mint condition on the Master System. Finally got the whole collection there on that. R-Type, which everyone knows is a great game. And yeah, I had a bit of a large purchase on Super Pro Protector, Contra Wars 3 on the Super Nintendo. Now, I've already got the loose cartridge for this game, but it was mint condition in a box, everything. I won't reveal how much I paid for it because it probably, you know, make you all a little bit ill to hear it, but I finally got it, and I'm happy with that, so there we go.
Wow. Now, you mentioned a couple of Master System games there because you're a bit of a Master System fan, and recently you appeared on the RGDS podcast with Matt Aguilera and Paul Driscoll, and you did an episode on the Sega Master System, which I recommend that all our listeners, we've probably got the same listeners anyway, but if some of our listeners are just tuning in for Castlevania, definitely check out the RGDS podcast, because John and the other guys do an amazing job. You know, I used to be part of the team down there, and those guys have carried on fantastically without me. Obviously, you know, they're not quite as good looking now because I've left, and yeah. But anyway, speaking about Master System and Castlevania, there's a game on the Master System called Master of Darkness. Have you played it?
You've told me. You know what? You've recommended so many games to me. I mean,
why don't you ever play them then, John? You know, I always recommend this game. And I go, have you played them? Hey, no, mate.
I don't know. I've just moved on from system to system. And then, obviously, now I've got so many games, a backlog of games now. One of them, there's two games you recommended to me. Obviously, Aria of Sorrow, which is obviously Castlevania related, so I've got to get on that.
You have to.
Then you've got the Master of Darkness?
Master of Darkness on the Sega Master System. Castlevania, basically.
That's another one you're recommending to me, so I've got to get on that as well.
And then you've got the Kid Dracula games on the NES.
I played that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too many, mate. It's like, but I come home and I play Pro Protector, and I've become absolutely shit on it. I just managed to finish it on easy with no continues.
Wow, you know what? That's good, because I, back in the day, even playing on easy with two players, I don't think I got beyond the bit where you're hanging from the missiles.
I've beaten this game on hard before, but this is obviously when, you know, I was like high on sugar and had the young reflexes. I think this could be my new challenge. I've done easy now, I've done that today already, so normal is my next one, and then hard, because you only get the real ending on hard, don't you?
Yeah. See, what I want to mention as well to our listeners here, I mean, I've been away from podcasting now just for a few months. You know, I was going to give it all up, but, you know, I missed chatting to John, and loads of other people have messaged me saying, oh, you know, we miss sort of hearing you talk about stuff. So I thought I'd start off slowly by just doing, like, a Castlevania podcast, because it's only four episodes. And don't worry, guys, we will talk about episode two in a second. But I do want to say to John, play Aria of Sorrow. Now, I was playing this on my journey back to Huddersfield today, and Aria of Sorrow is amazing, John. Mm. Some people may disagree with me. Some people are listening to this podcast. They'll say, what you just are about to say now is wrong. I think it's better than Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
That's a bold statement,
mate. It is. That's how good this game is, John. But then, Dawn of Sorrow is even better than Aria of Sorrow, and these games are so good that I've started it from scratch again.
So which one comes first? Because I know chronologically,
GBA, you've got Aria of Sorrow.
Yeah.
So play that one. Play Aria of Sorrow. That's set, I think, around 2019 or 99. Set in the future. You know, Dracula's being killed off in this. But this is one of the things, John, about Castlevania. The timeline is so distorted. The Belmonts and, you know, even on the Mega Drive, there was another Castlevania, I think the New Generation or the New Blood, whatever it was called, went by different names. That was set in a different future time as well, and that featured some amazing graphics. Get that for the Mega Drive if you can, John.
Like, it's so convoluted, the timeline of it. I have no idea.
Yeah.
All I know is, I mean, I won't lie to you, the only Castlevanias I've played is the first one on the Nintendo, second on the Nintendo, and Symphony of the Night. And, what's the other one? Rondo of Blood. I played that as well. Okay. That was a good game.
Rondo of Blood is fantastic. But, John, honestly, if you love, like, Symphony of the Night, you're going to love Aria of Sorrow. You've got a coin-ups, you know, which is a modded Xbox for any of our listeners that haven't do it. You know, you can mod an Xbox. You've got loads of games at disposal.
That's blasphemy.
But play it. Play Aria of Sorrow. Right. You know, you can also pick up the cartridge.
How does it on the coin-ups, though, the Game Boy Advance? They look good? They look all right?
Yeah, it looks amazing. The only thing is that I find that I can't remember how to do saving on the Game Boy Advance games on, you know, coin-ups. That's why I if I ever do it, I just do it in one go, and I never manage to finish it. So that's
what does the coin-ups actually does it save? I don't even have to do save states on that, to be honest with you.
There is a way. I don't know how to do it. You have to put something out on Twitter. But yeah, definitely, by the time we do episode 3, John, I need you to have played that game a little bit. So next week, you need to play it. That's been enough of what we've been playing, you know, whatever else what we've been doing. Let's talk about the Netflix TV series Castlevania. This is episode 2, Necropolis. And the way we're going to do it, every week we talk about an episode and, you know, we're in episode 2. So, John, go into it in our chronological order and explain your views on it, and I'll chip in and out as well.
Well, this is like our introduction to the Mr. Trevor Belmont.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to look inconspicuous in a bar and failing miserably. just like, you know, he's like listening in on the peasants, isn't he? Like, talking about, you know, the dealings of magic and monsters and stuff like that. And lo and behold, you know, he's pissed as a fart. He ends up getting a fight with him. And it's just like amazing, because you think he's going to be like some super ninja, but he ends up getting his ass handed to him by these three peasants.
See, that's the interesting thing, John, because that's exactly what I thought. And there's certain things I had to watch. That's the reason why I had to watch it twice. I mean, I didn't like it the first time around. The second time around, I got it. There's so many things I just didn't get the first time around watching. I mean, I was just thinking, come on, why isn't Trevor such a badass? You know, like, he's meant to be this vampire killer, this monster killer, and he just got beaten up by three drunken blokes, you know.
Well, you know, he did okay. I mean, if you tried fighting drunk, mate. really hard. But he has a flawed character. I mean, obviously he's proud of the family crest and his name and stuff, but he's flawed. He's not some paragon of justice and virtue. He's got issues. He's got, obviously, he likes his drink, and I like that kind of flawedness about him. You know, he's not boring. He's not, you know, one dimensional. But that's what I like. He got into a fight and he went outside and threw up.
Well, you know what? You've got to the point that I want to get to, John. He is a flawed hero. Again, I think it would have been boring if he had just been sort of like the straight man, sort of like, you know, just the handsome, tough guy that just has all these morals and he can do no wrong. You know, it would have just been boring. It would have been like, oh, God, how generic is this? But being this guy that drinks, you know, he's paralytic. He's not just drunk, you know, he's really, really drunk. And he loses in a fight. And it shows that he is human, you know. He's not perfect. And he has got some issues. And on second viewing, this is what made me start to like the show a little bit more. Now, the guy that does the voice acting, is a guy called Richard Armitage. And I believe he also starred in a few of the Lord of the Rings films as well.
I have to say, the writing isn't great in this episode. It's pretty, I don't know, it's not good. You know, it's just not really well done. But I like the artwork. I mean, I'm a big fan of anime. I know a lot of people I've spoken to, it's divided them about the way it's actually animated. But I actually think it's done quite really well. The only thing I can say, some of the lines that come out with in this episode are just, oh my God, really? You put that to paper and you put it on film. That's dreadful.
Well, I mean, there's a bit that made me laugh when he was like, they kept on hitting him in his privates, and he was like, please leave my testicles alone. And I thought little things like that just added a bit of humour to this sort of like a drunken fight. And it was a silly drunken fight, you know. It was a little bit over the top, you know. It wasn't as over the top as, say, like the fight scene from They Live, but, you know, it was really dramatic and a bit silly.
Yeah, but They Live was done, that was done deliberately. Is there some lines when the guy goes, like, you know, confess you're a Belmont and I'll make your suffering quick? And it's like, what peasant says that in a bar? You know what I mean? It's like, okay, all right, suspend the disbelief a little bit, but, yeah.
I mean, I've got to admit, this episode I didn't like it as much as the first episode. But again, the second time round, and even just talking to you, John, thinking about it, I probably enjoyed it a lot more about it. I don't think it was as good as the first episode, you know, but it holds up pretty well. So after that, then, after being thrown out of that pub and sort of whatever, he goes off to a town and he tries to sneak in, and he goes through like this sewer pipe, like, you know, he calls it a shit pipe, and he sneaks into that town.
Yeah, he goes in there and he basically sees the carnage that, you know, every night what happens to them. And you know, he's making his way through the city. He's a Grisette, or, you know, he's going through the town, talking to the villagers and stuff like that. And he's just getting a general idea of, you know, what's going on there. And it's kind of built up really well. Kind of like the religion is always like the major protagonist in this whole thing. Whole, like, Christianity and what it's done. And, you know, obviously what they used to do as well, like burning all the witches and stuff. Obviously, the whole thing about burning the witches because Dracula's wife was burnt at the stake. But, it's just kind of setting the tone a little bit, giving you a general idea how much bastards the church is in this episode. Not, I'm saying in real life, but in this episode. I don't want to piss anyone off. But, it's good. To me, this is when it got his, I mean, I like the bar scene because it is good to set up his character, but I liked it when he went into town because you see another side of his character. Like, you see the drunken idiot fighting, but then you also see the noble Belmont that he's proud of. Like, he feel like he needs to go out and help people, you know, go out and see what's going on. And let's talk about the priests that he meets. That was a good scene, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, so basically, you know, he finds out from a few people that you've got the priest that the people have got to fear during the day, and then at night time they've got like these monsters that climb over the wall. But then later on, as he enters an alleyway, he sees a guy getting harassed by these two priests. And this is where we see the Trevor Belmont, how badass he actually is.
Exactly. So you see two sides of the coin. You see the drunken mug, drunken idiot who just, you know, does what he does, goes around and gets into drunken fights. And you see another side of him, which is like, which are the Belmonts are renowned for, which is the noble hero who helps the downtrodden. And you see that when those two priests, you know, kind of get their ass handed to him, don't they?
Well, it's pretty impressive what he does, because, I mean, at one point, what he does, he takes out his trusty whip. And this is what I was looking forward to, because the Belmonts are famous for their whips. And he tries to grab something from the guy, but he accidentally takes out the guy's finger.
Yeah, exactly. He says that line to him, then he goes, oh, that's a funny thing for a priest to be carrying. It's like a knife, isn't it? Or like a cross with a knife on the end of it.
Yeah.
Tries to take off him and takes his fingers off, doesn't he?
And yeah, the guy's basically sort of swearing. He's like, oh, you know, you guys aren't meant to swear or something like that. And then after that, I think he takes out the other priest's eye as well.
Yeah, so, you know, there's no mucking around. You do get to see that, okay, maybe he is actually worthy of the Belmont name, because, you know, I mean, obviously we won't go into it now, because we haven't seen other episodes yet, but, you know, you get to see a glimpse. This has given you a glimpse of who he truly is, you know, like the Belmonts, the Trevor Belmont, you know, that name is famous in Castlevania. You get a glimpse of that now. So, great scene, though. Those priests won't be mucking around with him again, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's like, I don't know what the way you want to sort of like describe him, but I think he will be a hero, but he's a reluctant hero. And, you know, like Trevor starts speaking to this old guy and some of his people that he's with, and they start going on about like how he has to help out, and they're saying, well, you guys could have had my help a long time ago. And he starts going on about his family, so he's reluctant to help out. And he doesn't really seem to care, but there's something about him that you think maybe he does, and that's where that episode ends.
Well, he's slightly bitter, isn't he, after what the church done to him, done to the family. Like, he helped the downtrodden, and he, you know, his family helped people throughout history, and then they're basically cast out by the church. So he's obviously got, you know, no love for the priesthood, as it were. So I'm sure he didn't mind cutting out that priest's eye and chopping off his fingers, to be honest with you. I mean, you'd feel the same as well, wouldn't you?
No, definitely. I don't think I'd be able to do it like the way Trevor did, though. But anyway, I think we'll start rounding the show up, John. Again, I wouldn't say this is as great as episode 1. I can't wait to watch episode 3, and episode 3 will be out next week. And hopefully we'll be joined, not just by yourself, John, but by Matt Lamborn from the RGDS podcast. So there'll be three of us talking about episode 3, which is titled Labyrinth. And before we round up the show, actually, what I do want to do is just mention a few little things that some of our listeners have said about this episode. So I'll read these out, and then after that, I'll call it a day. So I put out a question a little bit beforehand, and it was like, so what did everyone think of, you know, episode 2? And I only got a few replies, because, you know, this podcast is starting small. We haven't got that many listeners for now. Hopefully it will grow. So Phil K said, I watched them back to back, and I thought all were really good. Can't remember if episode 2 was better or worse than the rest. Gordon King says, yep, it's one big episode to me. Thought it was crafted really well. And James Birch says, I think the series started to pick up its pace in this episode. So a few mixed sort of, like, you know, people there, sort of opinions. But I think the show is going to get better. You've seen all of them already. Don't tell me too much, but does it get better?
Yeah, it does, mate. It kind of builds on the characters a lot. I mean, I think this was Netflix just kind of like seeing the response from it, and the responses overall have been very good. So I think they've already commissioned season 2 with 8 or 9 episodes. So it gets better, mate. It does. Not that it gets better, because I think they're pretty good anyway. I just think it kind of develops themes and characters a lot more. You know, when you watch the episodes, you find out.
Fantastic, then. So we'll start rounding the show up then, John. So where can people find you then, John?
Why me? What do you mean? I don't go to King's Cross no more, mate. You know? Those days are over now.
You find John on the telephone boxes or on the bathroom wall where it says, for a good time, call John.
Yeah, these bills don't pay themselves, mate. What do you want me to say?
Yeah, so you can find John over at Twitter, I believe, at PyPew, and also over at the RGDS podcast, and you guys release a podcast every 2 weeks. And, you know, I might reappear at some point there to guest on an occasional episode. But once the Castlevania podcasts have done, because there are only 4 episodes, the next small podcast that I'll be doing is with one of my friends. We're going to be doing the Rick and Morty podcast. And then maybe later on, me and John will do another podcast. But for now, we're just doing animations and TV shows. And next year, hopefully in 2018... I will come back and I will be talking properly about gaming, hopefully with John. Depends on my time, but for now, I'll just do these small podcasts that I can just do once in a while. And with that, I'd like to say goodbye and thank you for everyone for supporting us. Oh, big special thanks to Matt Lamborn, actually, for leaving us an iTunes review. He puts, "The Geek and the Muscle talk Castlevania. What's not to like?" So, John, which one are you, the geek or the muscle?
Well, the geek, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
Well, we see Lamborn on Wednesday, so we'll have a proper catch-up then as well.
Definitely. Thanks very much, guys. See you all next time. Goodbye.
See you later, guys.
Now, John's either having a wee or he's having a drink, one of the two, pouring himself a drink. It's like that scene in The Naked Gun. All finished there, John? Don't forget, give it a shake. You back? What has happened to you, John?